Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Stone Chapel, a podcast of the staff and friends of the Lanier Theological Library in Houston, Texas. My name is David Capes. I'm the Senior Research Fellow at the Library and your host for this series of podcasts. Our purpose is fairly simple. We want to bring to you great conversations with leading experts from around the world on biblical, theological, historical, and archaeological themes. Well, the list goes on. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Joining me today on The Stone Chapel is Dr. Margaret Diddams, who's a friend of mine. She's my former boss. Can you be a friend and a boss at the same time?
That's what I always aimed for,
David. That's the goal, and you certainly hit the mark when you did that. And recently retired from Wheaton College as the provost up there, but you've been here at the Lanier Library for a bit. Tell us what brings you here.
Well, David, I'm really interested in leadership because I'm an industrial organizational psychologist. For the past 20 years, I've been interested in leaders who have some sort of pivot in their career. Usually it's some sort of downfall, whether it is self choice, agency, or they've been fired or something, and they come back stronger. They have a second act. And it's been a very interesting year with COVID, is we're seeing a lot of church leaders really going through difficult times. And I'm part of a group. I put a plug in here for Resilient Church Leadership. You can find us on the web. We do a podcast every Thursday afternoon. And
is Ed Stetzer part of that?
That is Ed Stetzer.
Oh, no.
And
no, he's a great friend.
Exactly, to both of us. And as we were going into the summer, doing this for 4 or 5 months, we really, as a group, started to talk about lament. People are lamenting so much right now. And as we talked about lament, I realized so much of it was similar to the psychological literature on resilience. Now, the thing about resilience that's different from grit or stick-to-itness is resilience is coming back from something negative. So there's always some sort of grief involved with it.
So there's some sort of loss then.
There's a loss, and people come back
from that.
Not
everybody comes back, though, right?
Not always, and certainly not on the same timetable. And that's really important to understand. But there's a lot of research out there on resilience in the last 20 years. And there are 7 different attributes of resilience that lead to a stronger bounce back. And as we were talking about lament this summer, I realized, my gosh, they almost align perfectly.
So you've been here reading the Book of Lamentations.
I have been reading Lamentations.
We're sitting here with just stacks and stacks and stacks of books that you have been going through. And you're finding some common ground, I think, right?
Well, what's interesting, and cheers for the Lanier Theological Library, every book that I have wanted to find on the topic as I read through it, I'm finding it in the library.
So it's already here.
It's already here.
Okay, great.
And so just to give people the idea of the depth of the collection here, I think I have about 30 books on this desk right here, all about Lamentations, all from the library.
We have 103,000 volumes, not including the journals, I think. So we're pretty well suited for a lot of different areas, but I'm glad that you found what you've needed here.
Well, it's been a joy as I've gone through Lamentations.
Yeah.
So
Let's talk about those seven things, aspects that you were describing.
Let's do that. Now, remember, the research on resilience is secular. It is done by actually a lot of people in military academies to build resilience of troops. George Bonanno at Columbia University. It is not meant to be any kind of religious study, but one of the key points of resilience is a belief in God or a higher power.
It's a 12-step. It begins with a 12-step kind of thing, right?
Well, interestingly enough, and here's what's important that I want people to understand from Lamentations and also grief work, resiliency, there are no steps. And that's partly what I have been in love about reading about Lamentations is it's not necessarily a process. In fact, if you want to start somewhere in Lamentations, you start right in the middle.
In the middle of the thing.
In the middle of the thing.
Which is chapter 3?
Chapter 3,
okay.
Verse 22, and talking about the faithfulness of God. Because you don't have this conversation with God unless you believe in his faithfulness and that God's mercies are new every day.
Right.
That's like the cornerstone.
Right. And there's a lot of songs and hymns that are sort of based upon that, right?
Right.
Great
exactly.
is thy faithfulness comes to mind.
It is the, I don't think people always think when they hear those words that they understand that it's plopped in the middle of this book that is wrenching. But that's the anchor that anchors the rest of the book. And so I like to think about that as that's the ground rules. Okay, if you're going to have this conversation with God, with each other, you have to be anchored in that Lamentations 3:22. The next point of resilience is coming to that personal acceptance of loss and limitations. And so when we think about how Lamentations starts, it starts with a ka. Or you can tell me how it is in Hebrew, but it translates to a how.
Yeah.
And it's a cry too deep for words. And I love that. I love the fact that this book, in a sense, starts with words that is a cry that's too deep for words. And what's really important here, and this is especially for leaders who are going through this sort of difficulty, is coming to grips with the fact that the past is gone. I like to think about this as the present is no longer perfect. And for those of you who are English majors, the present perfect tense is I have been, right? I have been eating. I have been sleeping. It's a link between the past and the present. The present is no longer perfect. In Lamentations, the past covenant with God, the understanding of the covenant of God. The covenant of God didn't break, but the understanding of the covenant of God, the waste of that, the turning to themselves as understanding, that's all gone. And so in our culture, we like to talk about letting go of things. What we're seeing in Lamentations, it's not about letting go, but understanding that there is nothing in the past to hold on to. And that becomes really important for leaders who go through this second act, is there's not anything to be bringing the past with them that's meaningful. And so they're able to let go of that and kind of cleanse the ego. That allows them then to make that kind of pivot to a second act. The third aspect of resilience is meaning-making. And I like to think of this as with that, the past is no longer perfect. You're in the state of disequilibrium. And we like to say in good liberal arts, it's a liminal space, right? There's no past, there's no presence.
Right.
And so you're making sense of this disequilibrium. And really that's what we're seeing in the first two chapters of Lamentations. They're just sense making,
right?
And what I think is really important in that sense making is owning the emotions that go with it, because Lamentations is full of emotions. And in fact, we look in chapter 1, verse 13, and we have this. It's from the New Revised Standard Version. From on high, he sent fire. It went deep into my bones. And I love that image of fire being trapped in my bones. And I just think about this as a stirring anger.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later on, it goes into...
But it has to be expressed, though, right? Doesn't that anger have to be expressed?
I think this is what happens with Lamentations. The whole point of Lamentations is the author is expressing it.
Is expressing it, right. Exactly,
right.
Yeah.
And again, ground rule, God is tough enough.
Yeah, to handle it.
To handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And any kind of disequilibrium is going to have an emotional roller coaster mm-hmm. to it. We also have later in the book, the author writes about God shooting an arrow into my bile. Quite descriptive, but in ancient texts, that's understand as your bile's is understand as the seat of your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can easily read into that. That's depression.
Yeah.
That's deep sadness.
Deep, yeah.
And so we have these roller coasters of sadness and anger that goes with this sense making.
Mm.
And it's all right. God can deal with it.
Mm.
And then what's interesting in Lamentations is it is a series of conversations, right? The community is talking to God.
Mm-hmm.
God talks to the community. Jeremiah talks to God and on behalf of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of shifts that happen throughout the mm-hmm. book. In my notes on it, I have this shift, shift. I mean, these shifts can happen within just a couple verses.
Yeah, exactly.
Of each other. But I think what's interesting about that is that we need to see Lamentations as both a communal prayer as well as an individual prayer. There's a lot of people talking
mm-hmm.
in Lamentations. And on the side of resilience, what we see is the importance of being able to take the perspective of others.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about the leadership literature
interesting. Yeah.
is that for a lot of leaders who have this pivot, they have been so successful in their first career as it was, they get pretty filled with their own press, as it were. They've been listening to their own praises mm-hmm. for too long. And when you go through this sort of shift, it tends to empty you. And part of that is the sense making.
Yeah.
How to
make sense of all this, right?
How did this happen to me? How did I fall?
Mm-hmm.
And here's
mm-hmm.
what I think is important about this, and that goes to our next point in resilience, and that's a willingness to be changed.
Mm.
And what is really, really interesting in the grief literature is the idea with grief is that this is not going to be rocket science, but there's loss.
Mm-hmm.
There's always some kind of loss, and that loss kind of separates then the past from the present,
mm-hmm.
where it's no longer there's some kind of break in time, as it
yeah.
were, that we start to think about things as kind of before something happened. And then after.
It becomes sort of the almost like the compass of your life, you know, before
yes.
this happened and after this
yes.
happened.
Yes, and I don't think we give enough
yeah.
credence to that in grief.
Mm-hmm.
In, you know, we might talk about it being earth-shattering,
mm-hmm.
but it's really a temporal shattering
mm.
of how we understand the present
yeah.
and the past. And so what happens with resilience is... that idea that we need to recognize that break
mm-hmm.
and move on. And so there is this hopefulness and purpose orientation. And this comes out in the last two verses of Lamentations. And here's something I learned from your library. Let me read you the last two verses. And this is in chapter 5. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. Then the last verse, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. Mm. Well, that's kind of a downer.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But here's what exactly, I learned in the library is that in typical Hebrew writing, you actually go back to verse 21 when you would be reading this out loud. So we really end it with, "Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored, renew our days as of old." And what I love about this verse 21, it's not restore us to our glory. It's not restore us to our standing amongst our neighbors and allies. Right. It's restore us to yourself. So there's an openness to that.
Because in that second act, they don't often go back to the thing that they did before, right?
Right, doing something different.
Doing something really different.
Different.
Yeah.
And usually something that is more aligned with, as we would say, gifts and graces.
So what they should have been doing in the first place, in a way.
But so I like to talk about this as coming home by another route.
Oh, nice.
And that's really learning about who you are in this process. Another point, so that's, I think I'm on five now, so an open, that hopefulness and purpose-oriented is in resilience, that's an openness to something new. And part of that in resilience is you can't go back. It's not there or it's just too painful. So it's kind of being pushed out of the nest, but being open to it and not being getting to that point. And I think that's the whole point of what's happening in Lamentations. This is what the commentaries are telling me, is this is a book really, these poems, these five poems, is Jeremiah getting the community prepared to move on. There is this movement toward that end, around that. And within that movement, there is recognition of one's sin or culpability. And that's really hard to tell leaders that are just, you know, bottomed out.
They share some responsibility.
They share some responsibility.
May not have been the only thing at work, but...
But, and this is what's different about Lamentations than Job, for example. There's nothing in Job's character or life that led to his tragedy.
Yeah.
But in Lamentations, there is the actions of the Hebrews have led to their tragedy as they have broken the covenant. And I think whenever we find ourselves in a situation that's not that kind of tragic aspect, we need to say, how did I get here?
If
not for any other reason, to say, to make sure that I don't repeat that. Then the next thing related to that is we see in resilience and Lamentations is, again, going back to those last verses, but throughout these, especially in chapter 3, is humility. In chapter 3, but I would also say in chapter 4, because in chapter 4, what we see there, as I'm going through the pages, is Jeremiah, and I know there's questions if Jeremiah is actually the author,
right?
But we'll say the poet,
right?
Is talking about in four about God's punishment, and then we have in five with that punishment is the plea for mercy. So we start to see that turn there,
which is a recognition that you've been a part of this. You've been a part of your own downfall.
Right.
Right.
And exactly. And
as opposed to just saying, well, I'm a victim of these bad forces and factors that totally outside of me and had nothing to do with me at all. Right.
So what was interesting to me, so Danny Carroll, our former
Old Testament professor at Wheaton College,
colleague, when I started this project a couple months ago, he said, "Margaret," as Danny would say, "Margaret, make sure if you start writing about this that you make it clear that Lamentations is a book about coming to grips with one's actions and that there is sin in here. And I do think that's...
Which is hard to talk about in psychological circles, right? I mean, there is admission that there is something like sin or...
So I think, though, however, as psychologists, we're good with talking about culpability.
Okay, yeah.
But there's a better way to say that is actually agency. And one of the books I've been reading here at the library is D.A. Carson's How Long, O Lord? Reflections on Suffering and Evil. And he talks about this dual tension that it's both there is the complete sovereignty of God and the agency of man. And that too, those are in tension whenever we're talking in terms of suffering and evil. And I think that is very clear in Lamentations, is that you're dealing with both of those. So my hope, after I've been here now and going through the library, I have tons and tons of pages, of notes.
So eventually this will end up in a book that you're writing.
I do hope. I have a working title of the Liturgy of Lament for Second Act Leaders. I think Lamentations is a powerful template for coming to grips with hitting bottom, finding God is there, the impassibility of God, finding that the immutability of God is there with us, and being able to have that forward-looking hope. Let me just say one more thing that I love about Lamentations is it ends in hope, but we don't know where it's going. And I think that's really important for leaders who go through this process is they don't know what that outcome is going to be.
And again, unlike the book of Job, where Job, everything ends up pretty well for Job. He's got more than he had when he started.
And I think this is where we get to the that anchor of all we know when we go through this process is God will be there and to be open to that more authentic self that God has plans for us. I do like to say, you know, if you're going to quote Romans 28, you need to go through Romans 26 first, which is, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words.
Which is exactly how Lamentations begins, isn't it? Romans 8:28. You got to start in 27. Dr. Margaret Diddams, it's been a pleasure to have you here at the library. I hope you and your husband will come back on some occasion.
It's been a joy, David. Thank you for your invitation.
Glad it worked out. We'll be back with you, I hope, on another podcast in the future. I've already got a couple of ideas.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks to Brent Johnson and Janet Seifert for editing these podcasts. Thanks as well to Phil Keggy for our music. These podcasts are made possible by the generosity of Mark and Becky Lanier and the Lanier Theological Library Foundation. If you have questions, comments, or would just like to be in touch, please email us at podcast@lanierlibrary.org. Lanier is L-A-N-I-E-R. Thanks for listening.